By the way, okay. While I still can, I'd like to thank all the wives who allow us to go. My wife tells me, I better go. But some wives, you know, if you want husbands around, they actually come all the time to the chair.
It's a good excuse.
I want to thank the wives for allowing me. It's the same thing with the husband's wife. Oh, okay, with that, comment on the wives, I'll feel more safe.
So good evening to everyone. We're at a hard time of the year, and I think that by the end of the class, you'll understand a bit more as to why this time of the year can actually be fixed by you. It's not something that is in the hands only of God. It's not in the hands of our neighbors. It's not in the hands of the irreligious Jews. It's not in the hands of the sinning Jews. It's in our hands. It's in our hands to actually fix. So I was thinking that this evening I wanted to do three things. I wanted to A, not disconnect what we're doing here to the class. So I thought that since we're eating meat and we're drinking wine, we'll talk about meat and wine. As I taught in the Kollel many times, I don't like people that introduce themselves by saying, now we're going to hear a Dvar Torah. But rather, I like the Divrei Torah to flow directly from where we are. So if we were eating milchiks, I'd probably talk about cheese. But since we're eating fleishiks, I thought we'll talk about meat and wine. And thank God, when I came here this evening, there was not only meat on the table, which I knew there would be, but there's actually wine on the table as well. The second thing I wanted to attain is to, of course, include our wives, who don't always come to the Kollel, but first and foremost, allow you to come to the Kollel. Secondly, I'm sure in some of your homes, at least in my home, my kids won't eat any food that I make. They know what's better for them, and they know that if they eat my food, they'll get sick. So my wife is in charge of the cooking, and I'm in charge of the cleaning. And therefore, I thought that I'd talk about something that would include both the husbands and wives, assuming that around this table there's a few chefs, maybe women, maybe men, and they'd be able to connect to what we're about to speak about, because next week we're about to go into a week that, unfortunately, is very challenging for the kitchen. And finally, on a more personal note, in the Kollel, my particular rubric this year has been to teach the philosophy of one of my rebbes, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, Rav Amital, Zechon Levracha. And this year, unfortunately, I lost my second rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo. He passed away a few months ago. And I wanted to give a proper shiur in his methodology in the Kollel, and it didn't happen, simply because my slot, in terms of time, doesn't allow it, and there's other people that, thank God, teach. So I'm happy that this evening I had the chance to at least attempt to do that, and to give you a glimpse into the methodology of learning Torah that I got from my own Rebbe when you approach any halachic topic. So I hope that I'll be able to attain these three goals this evening. First and foremost, to connect the meat and wine that you're eating to the shiur, which is pretty easy because that's the topic. Number two, to connect everyone around the table, because next week, those that like milchiks will be in heaven, those that don't won't be in heaven, will be in the other place. And number three, to try to give you a little glimpse about how to learn a halachic passage in the methodology of my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein. So if you look on the source sheet that you probably have, let us begin. Please enjoy the meat and wine as we continue the shiur. I like when people eat and drink. This way they don't talk back. But if you want to talk back, please feel free to. So in Europe, as you know, before the great speakers would speak, they used to say, before I begin to speak, I'd like to say a few words. So before I begin the topic, since Shlomo's back with his Canada hat cap, which I have a personal relationship to, I'd like to thank Shlomo for hosting us here. It's wonderful to be in your home, and I thank you for the hospitality, for your words of Torah and the Kollel that always comes, that I always interrupt. It's never a pleasure to do that, you should know, and I feel bad each time, and I'm happy that...
But if I had to give up to anyone, I'm glad it's here.
Huh?
I have to give up my cheer. My cheer.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. So I thank Shlomo and his wife, Zahavit, for hosting us here. Obviously, it's not easy to have a bar to have this on an evening during the week. We all prepare for Shabbos, but a Wednesday evening is harder. And I thank Shlomo, of course, for his hospitality. His hospitality, as you know, is meat and wine. And that's the topic I want to speak about. As you know, If things don't change, next week we're going into what's called, colloquially, or to be even more precise, this Friday, we're going into which period of time? The 9 days. As a matter of fact, the 9 days don't exist in the Gemara. The Gemara only speaks about Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the week that Tisha B'Av actually falls out in, which this year is a challenge, but I'll leave that for your imagination as to when that is this year, because Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos in the calendar date, and yet we fast on Sunday in terms of the fast date. But the Gemara does talk about meat and wine regarding only one thing, and I quote the first source, Meseches Tanis, page 26a. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal basar ve lo yishte yayin. On the eve of Tisha B'Av, and the commentaries explain, not in the morning, but actually at the Sudam of Seket, the final meal before the fast, is the only time that you can't eat meat and drink wine before Tisha B'Av. That's it. So 9 days out, you can eat meat, drink wine the whole 9 days. Comes to the afternoon before Tisha B'Av, that's when the rabbinic edict kicks in of not eating meat and drinking wine. Leaving out all the details that went from the Gemara till our customs today, the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, says as follows. Yesh nohagim, there is a custom. I want you to look again. Yesh nohagim, it's a custom, because obviously the Gemara did not say this. The Gemara talked only about the eve of Tisha B'Av. Yesh nohagim, shelo yochal basar ve lo yishtot yayin b'shabbat zu. Some do not eat meat and drink wine during the week on which Tisha B'Av falls. The yesh mosifin mirosh chonesh va'ad ha'ta'anit. And some add in what we colloquially call the 9 days, namely from this Friday all the way to Tisha B'Av. The yesh shemosifin miyud zayin b'tamuz. And some don't eat meat and drink wine from Shivasar b'tamuz, what we colloquially call what? The 3 weeks. So, from the Gemara, from the rabbinic edict, to our custom today, a lot of meat and wine was not eaten, because as you can see, there's 3 customs. The whole week that Tisha B'Av falls, the 9 days, or what's the third option? The 3 weeks. Very easy to remember the third option. 3 weeks. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan and sums it up for us. Medina de Gemara, according to the Gemara, the rabbis, any sur b'achilat basar, rak b'erev Tisha B'Av of the Sudam of Seket. Avava, kiblu avotenu ze habe me'ot bashanim, shelo le'echol basar v'shelo lishtot yayin, min rosh chodesh av Tisha B'Av levad miyom ha'shabbat. So, ultimately, today, our custom is, even though the Gemara doesn't say this, that we do not eat meat or drink wine from Rosh Chodesh Av, which is this Friday, all the way to the fast day, which this year comes out not on the 9th of Av, but the 10th of Av. So those are 10 days, except for Shabbos. Rule of the thumb is, if we have a Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, then you don't have 9 days of not eating meat and drinking wine. You never have 9 days, as a matter of fact, because Shabbos always takes away one of the 9 days. That makes it 8. Let's continue this mathematics together. What else takes away from the 9 days? Tisha B'Av, you don't eat anything, so that takes away. We're down to a week, 7 days. This year, you're down to 6 days, because we have 2 Shabboses during the 9 days. The first Shabbos is this week, Matos Maseh, and next Shabbos is Tisha B'Av or Erev Tisha B'Av. Yes? We'll deal with that at the end of the year. So, my question to you is, how do you understand this particular custom? Not eating meat and drinking wine. It's a prohibition. How do you understand it? When my Rebbe would sit back and look at any halachic edict, he would sit back in his chair. I remember even what he used to do. He used to put his hands behind his back like this and say, there's a few ways to understand it. Now, I don't know how many ways he understood this. And I think most of his students don't know what he said about anything, simply because he taught us a methodology of learning, not necessarily chidushim, insights that he had. So let's sit back and think. What is the reason for this prohibition? Please talk freely. So, Mr. Weiser says that basar v'yayin, meat and wine, always symbolizes simcha, happiness. And since we're in the 9 days, we don't want happiness. Why don't we want happiness during the 9 days? If you look on the right side of your sheet, Mr. Weiser and I think alike. One point of view is, as Mr. Weiser says, because we don't want simcha. The Gemara says in Maseches Tanis on that same page, "Meshenichnas Av mima'atin besimcha." When Av comes in this Friday, you diminish your happiness. So comes along Mr. Weiser and says, I put on my antenna, the word happiness, what does that mean in halacha? I know one place that the word happiness is mentioned. Where? With regard to Yom Tov. Right? So therefore, Shulchan Beit Yosef, in the name of the Kolbo, the Beit Yosef, as you know, was who? His mother did not say, Beit Yosef, it's time for dinner. What was his name? Rav Yosef Caro. He was born in Spain, was deported in 1492 with all the Jews, went to various places, eventually ended up where? In Svat. The Beit Yosef quotes in his work, Beit Yosef, all the Rishonim up to his time. And the Beit Yosef quotes the Kolbo that says, Yesh hanimna'im ha'achilat basar mishenichnas av. Some people have the custom not to eat meat when Av comes in. As Mr. Weiser said, Lifi she'ein simcha elo bebasar. What's happiness? Meat. So we want to diminish happiness. How do we diminish happiness? By not eating meat. What's the flip side of 9 days? Yom Tov. What do we want to do on Yom Tov? Have simcha. So says the Rambam in Hilchos, Shvitat Yom Tov, the Halachot of Yom Tov, chapter 6, subdivision 16 and 17, and I quote, Shivat Yemei HaPesach v'shmonat Yemei HaChag im shar yamim tovim, all the various Yom Tovs that you know that you're allowed to eat on, Chayav Adam liyot bahem sameach v'tuv lev. It's an obligation to be happy. And the Rambam then delineates how to be happy. He says, Ketzad. By the way, I have a weakness for any Rishon that says Ketzad. You know what Ketzad means? Ketzad means, don't figure it out. I'm going to take you by the hand, and I'm going to tell you what I mean. Usually you got to figure it out for yourself. Here the Rambam says explicitly what he means. Ketzad, haktanim, the young children you give treats to. The women, says the Rambam, you buy new clothing and new jewelry. And the men, they get the happiness when they drink wine and they eat meat. So therefore, says Mr. Weiser, why don't we eat meat during the 9 days? Because our obligation in the 9 days is to diminish our, let's say the code word, simcha. So on Yom Tov, we want to upgrade the simcha, we eat meat and drink wine. During the 9 days, we want to diminish the simcha, so what do? We don't eat meat and drink wine. That's the first point of view. Mr. Weiser, like the Kolbo quoted by the Beit Yosef, said it. When I look at this point of view, I got a problem. And Rav Lichtenstein taught me to be very intellectually honest. I have a problem with this point of view for a very simple reason. Because if that would be the reason, we want to diminish our simcha and therefore we don't eat meat and drink wine, how come the women have to suffer? Said the Rambam, how do the women get the simcha? By new clothing and jewelry. How come the children have to suffer? What did the Rambam say about children? How do they get the simcha? Presents, treats. So if the reason for not eating meat and drinking wine was to diminish our happiness, then the Rambam, in accordance with his point of view, should have said, well, we have to diminish our happiness, so let's go. Kids, no treats. Women, no new clothing. Men, no meat and wine. Women can drink meat, drink wine and eat meat. The kids can drink wine and eat meat. That would solve the problems for all the camps around the world. No need for siyums. So I have a problem with that point of view simply because it doesn't jive. Because if that would be the reason, perhaps it would only be limited to men. More than that, I didn't put it on the source sheet, but the Gemara never says that simcha is attained through meat. That's the Rambam's novelty. The Gemara says, "En simcha ella b'yayin." The Gemara never says basar. The Rambam added in basar. So for the Gemara to say that the reason why you don't eat meat and drink wine on Erev Tisha B'Av is because you want to diminish your simcha, and we took that Gemara all the way to the 9 days, I have a problem with it. First and foremost, that's not the way all of the Jewish people get to simcha. Men and women and children get to it in a different way. And number two, basar is never mentioned in the Gemara. More than that, number three, I have a third problem with it. Not only is the Rambam the one that said that women and children don't need meat to get to simcha, and therefore maybe they should eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days. And not only did the Rambam himself add in simcha, so perhaps it's its own novelty, so I can understand the yayin part, but not the simcha part, I got a third problem with this point of view. What happens if you're a vegetarian? For you, if you're a vegetarian, eating meat and drinking wine, that would be a kiyum of, that would be a fulfillment of mimat in the simcha, because you can't stand it. You stay away from it. And therefore, perhaps, if this would be the reason, the halacha should have been written as follows. Men are not allowed to eat meat and drink wine, but vegetarians, women and children can. But that's not the way the halacha was codified. And therefore, this point of view, in my opinion, is a bit shaky. But, Mr. Weiser, to be honest, it's brought as one of the reasons. Okay, so the first reason is to diminish our simcha, and quite frankly, I have three problems with it, and therefore, I'm not so sure that that's the reason. Bruce, you wanted to ask a question. There you go. So perhaps they have to give up cheesecake and brinces, exactly. So the first reason, I think, is a bit problematic. Let's go to the second reason. What else can you say about meat and wine?
I want to ask a question.
Yes.
Based on what we said. You're looking at meat and basar, meat and wine, doctor. You're not looking at the holding in of, let's say, when there's a belut, a person passes away.
Yeah.
So what you do in the 12 months,
yeah,
you have less simcha.
Yeah.
In the month, you have even more or less simcha. And in the week, or in the actual week, in other words, the word it's a simanim of Abelot. Did you agree with that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Rav Yedidyahu points out the second point of view that we can look at. It's in the middle of the three different points of view. And that is what I call Abelot. We're in mourning. How do we show that we're in mourning? We don't eat meat and drink wine. That's the way we show that we're in mourning for everything that happened on Tisha B'Av throughout the generations, from the five events written in the Gemara throughout history to this very day. And unfortunately, the list is very long. 1 year on Tisha B'Av, as you know, I leave Kinos, I quoted the Abarbanel in the second chapter of Yirmiyahu. He brings about 10 events at his time. And you remember, the Abarbanel was, I would say, the chief rabbi of the deportation of Spain. When they were on the way out, he was a minister in the government, and he was deported from Spain. And he mentions endless events that happened since the Gemara's time until 1492, when he was deported himself, as he says, on Tisha B'Av from Spain. By the way, between us, since we're being honest, according to historians, the Jews were deported from Spain on not the Tisha B'Av, but on the 7th of Av. But for me, it's close enough. It's within the 9 days, probably Shavua Shechal Bo, so it's close enough. In any case, a lot of terrible events happen on Tisha B'Av. We have to show mourning. Unfortunately, we're very far from the Beis HaMikdash. Everything else that happened on Tisha B'Av is very far from us in terms of chronology. And therefore, how do we show it? We have to do a little more than a regular Avel. Someone, God forbid, lost a loved one, he's very sad or she's very sad. But since the Beis HaMikdash is so far from us, we've never seen a korban being brought. We've never seen Bruce work hard on the Temple Mount because he's a Kohen. Any Levies around the table? No Levies? One
yes,
Levi?
Binyamin.
Who's a Levi? Binyamin's a Levi. We've never seen Binyamin sing the Shir Shel Yom. We've never seen you.
He doesn't even wash.
He doesn't even wash. So therefore, we got to do a little avilut during the 9 days and lose a few pieces of meat and wine and ultimately show our mourning. That could be, it's brought down as a reason. However, Rabbi Yedidiyahu, I have a problem with it, because a regular avel, and I mean a bona fide mourner, is he allowed or she allowed to drink meat and eat wine? Excuse me, eat meat and drink wine? Yes! Who's not allowed to? On smicha exams, this is one of the questions asked. An onen. One, that's loved one passed away and he didn't, or she didn't bury him yet. They're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. That's a halacha that's very important, because many a times you're bringing a body for burial in Israel and you're on a plane and you order a kosher meal, and usually one of the kosher meals on a flight is meat, and you're not allowed to eat it because you're an onen. But in avel, after the cemetery is over, after the burial is over, you come home, there's absolutely no reason why someone sitting Shiva, let alone Shloshim, let alone Yud Bet Chodesh, the 12 months, is not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. And I'll tell you more than that. Look at the source in the middle. Shulchan Aruch. What is the first meal called after you come back from the cemetery? There's a word for it in Halacha. Su'udat Havra'ah. It's an obligation upon the community to give the meal to the mourners. What do we usually give to the mourners?
Eggs.
Bagels. Different communities have different customs. The Shulchan Aruch, which is our Rav Yosef Karo from Tzfat, in his Code of Jewish Law writes, and I quote, "Makom shenahagu lahavrot bebosev yayin uminei matamim osim." In a place where there is a custom that the first meal after the cemetery is meat and wine, you do it. There's no problem with that. An avel, a mourner, does all the mitzvos and can eat meat and drink wine. More than that, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, one of my favorite Gemaras, every time I drink a glass of wine. Perhaps I should take a sip before I quote this Gemara, just to Mekayim. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Lo nivra yayin ba'olam. God did not create wine in the world, Ella, except, you ready for this? What would you say? Look at me. God created wine to make kiddush, right? To bless the bride and groom under the chuppah. To make a bracha at a bris, at a pitch and a ben. What does the Gemara say? Lenachem avilim. To comfort those that are mourning. So we are mourning now during these 3 weeks. What better way to comfort us than by drinking wine? Therefore, I have a problem with this point of view, that it's because of avelus. Now, obviously, you could poke holes in what I said and say that we don't want to comfort you, we want you to feel bad. And therefore, we're taking away the wine. Because how many Jews really feel bad about not having a Beis HaMikdash? We never had it, so we don't feel it's missing. But, suffice it to say, that if you say that the reason for meat and wine is avelus, you got a big problem. Because in the laws of avelus, avel, or an avela, one is mourning, be it a man or a woman, is allowed to drink wine and eat meat galore. Therefore, I'd like to suggest a third point of view. And this, in my opinion, jives well with our custom and with the halacha. And what's the third point of view? That is the point of view of the Rosh. Now, this is a very interesting Rosh. First of all, his name wasn't Rosh Head. They didn't make fun of him in school and said, "Your name is Head." What was his real name? Rabbeinu Asher. Now, for everyone here that didn't ever read a Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher is one of the most diversified Rishonim you have. Because he started his life as an Ashkenazi. You want to end a sentence? And he ended his life as a Sfaradi. He started his life in Germany. His rabbi was the Maharam from Rutenberg. The famous Maharam from Rutenberg that at the end of his life was put into where? Jail, captivity, and whatnot. His chavrusa under the Maharam in Rutenberg was the Mordechai. If you ever look at a Vilna Shas in the back, you'll see the Mordechai. The Mordechai was killed on Kiddush Hashem. And he was successful to run away because he knew he was next in line. And he got to Spain. And the Rashba, another Rishon, said, "Wow, I got one of the most famous rabbis of our time." And he said, "Why don't you live in my house and we'll learn together?" And that's what happened for about 3 months. And after 3 months, the Rosh says, listen, I don't want to eat my meals for free. I need a job. It's not right. I heard another version, the Rashba had to die for the Rosh to actually leave his house. Whatever the version is, I like the first version because the Rashba placed him in Toledo, Spain. That's not Toledo, Ohio. Toledo, Spain. And that's why I love the Rashba, because I place rabbis. So I always felt an affinity to the Rashba. So, the Rosh, as you know, starts as Ashkenazi, ends as a Sephardi. This particular piece that I'm quoting from the Rosh is beautiful. He doesn't quote one word from himself. All he says is, there's a custom not to eat meat and drink wine. There's a halacha on the Sudam of Seket. By the way, I didn't say earlier, this year since it's Shabbos, there's no problem to eat meat and drink wine at your meal before the fast. But on a regular year there is. And all he does is he quotes a long, long Gemara in Baba Basra. Doesn't give his point of view, and you have to infer his point of view from the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Baba Basra, you have it in front of you, page 60b. It's the last stop in the third perek of Baba Basra. Those around the table that went to yeshiva know that certain mesechtas never start at the beginning, right? For example, where does Mesechet Shabbos begin? You guys remember this? Halavai. When I learned Mesechet Shabbos, it didn't start with Yitzias HaShabbos. That's the first Mishnah. It starts with Kol Gadol. Rav Yedidyahu is correct. Kol Gadol talks about the Malachos of Shabbos, and you start going through the 39 Malachos. Baba Basra, Cheska Sabatim, the third Perek. So many people learn the third Perek. At the end of the third Perek is this Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbi story. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Bashniya, the second time around, Rabu Prushin be Yisrael, Shalol Lechol Basar, Veshalol Lishtot Yayin. Many very pious individuals decided they will never again eat meat and drink wine. Not on the 9 days, not on the 3 weeks, not on the 6 weeks, not on Shabbos, not on Yontev, nothing. Yes. Oh, we're getting to it. Mr. Weiser's mechaven to the Rosh. You see, Mr. Weiser mechaven to a kobol, now he's going right to the Rosh. So, we're getting to it. So the Rosh quotes this long Gemara. We won't read it inside, I'll just paraphrase it for you. Comes along Rabbi Yoshua. That's why I like this Gemara for no apparent reason. And Rabbi Yoshua says to them, with due respect, if you're going to go that way, he asks them, why don't you eat meat and drink wine? They said, how can we eat meat and drink wine? The Beis HaMikdash had korbanos. There's no more korbanos. So we can't eat meat anymore. It's not nice. And there's no more nisuch hayayin. Every time you daven musaf, every time you say, umin chatam v'niskehem, the nisachim were the wine libations that were poured onto the korbanot. So we're not going to eat meat and drink wine. Rabbi Yeshua gets mad at them and says, with due respect, if you're going to go with that point of logic, then go and take it to its logical conclusions. What about water? Was water used in the Beis HaMikdash? Sure, on which holiday? On Sukkot. What's that called? Very good. He says, you can't eat wine, you can't drink wine because it was brought with korbanos. You can't eat meat because of korbanos. Well, on Sukkot, you pour wine down the Mizbeach. You pour water down the Mizbeach. So maybe you shouldn't drink water. Let's go a step further, he says. One of the korbanos were not meat, animals. They were min menachot, made out of flour. So maybe you shouldn't eat any cake, cookies, anything made out of flour. No challah. Go further. Shemen was used to make that flour. So you're not allowed to fry anything. Finished. So Rabbi Yeshua gets very mad at them and shows them that they're fools. And ends by saying the following line, which I love. Banai, my sons. Bovo Malachim, I'll tell you. Shaloli tabel kolikar iefshar. Shekvar nigzerag zerah. You can't not mourn at all. On the other hand, says Rabbi Yeshua, Uli tabel yotamidai ifshar. But you can't mourn all the time. You can't not mourn, but you can't mourn all the time. You have to find a balance. And says Rabbi Yehoshua, that therefore in our homes, we build homes, and what do we leave over? The Zecher L'Churban. And therefore, says the Rosh, implying from the Rosh what I'm just saying, for 9 days a year, we don't eat meat and drink wine. Why? The Aruch HaShulchan says it. L'Zecher HaKorbanot V'HaNechasim SheNitbatlu B'Avonoteinu. Why don't we eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days? Not because of mourning, because a mourner is allowed to drink wine and eat meat. Not because of diminishing simcha, because quite frankly, not everyone likes a barbecue or wine. But rather, why? Because we are specifically mourning now for what? Beis HaMikdash. What was brought in the Beis HaMikdash every day? Meat and wine. And therefore, specifically for the mourning of the Beis HaMikdash, and only for it, not a regular mourner, we don't eat meat and drink wine. That's ultimately what the Rosh is implying here. So what he's basically saying is that certain people after the destruction of the temple didn't want to eat meat and drink wine at all. We can't do that. We have a Yontif, we have a Shabbos, we have obligations, we can't mourn all the time. But for 9 days a year, we remember that oy vavoy, oy abroch, depending on your vantage point, oy vey, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, there's no korbanos, there's no wine. Gentlemen and ladies, to remember that, to mourn for it specifically, we don't eat meat and drink wine, only when you're mourning for the temple. Now, do we have a precedent for that in Halacha? That something people suggested we don't do all year, but maybe one time during the year we do it? Oh! So Rav Yedidyahu quotes the second source I quoted here. And that's the first source I quoted. And that's Pat Akum. What's Pat Akum? Bread baked by a non-Jew. Comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, V'yesh mekamot, there's certain places, anyone that lived anywhere outside of Israel, these are the places, shemekilin badavar, ולוקחים פת מנחתום העובד כוכבים במקום שאין נחתום ישראל מפני שהיא שעת הדחק. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you can't live without bread. Many people in America, Canada, and other places don't understand this, but in a typical Israeli yeshiva you'll see it. Every meal you take about 6 slices of bread because there's not a lot of food. And bread is a staple of life. So the Chachamim made a gezerah, you only can eat bread baked by a Jewish baker. The problem is, bread is very important in life. We give our kids sandwiches for school. When we go on a trip, that's the ultimate picnic. So ultimately, what's the kula? What's called pat shel nachtom, pat palter, the bread of a baker. Namely, what was the reason why the sages said not to eat bread of a non-Jew? Because you may marry his daughter. He gave you a delicious piece of bread. You say you're a wonderful guy. Do you have a daughter? I have a son. If you have a son, I have a daughter. So to prevent intermarriage, they made this gezerah. Well, due respect, you don't know who the baker is in Hutzplatz, America. So there's no way you're going to marry his daughter. So that's the kula with bread. However, says Rav Yedidyahu, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Af mi sheino nisar mi pat shel kutim, even if you're mekel all year, ba'aseres yimei tshuva tzarich lizaher. So when I was growing up in America, the nafkamina for this little halacha was, does anyone remember, going back to your very beautiful childhood in Galus, in America, Entenmann's donuts. I recall that we're not allowed to eat Entenmann's in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Rosh Hashanah comes, no Entenmann's till after Yom Kippur. Even after it became OU, of course. I remember it was, yeah, you're right. Mr. Wise is right, it wasn't always OU. Now it's OUD. And we didn't eat it because it has a din of pot. That's why you're mekel to eat it all year. If it didn't have a din of pot, it would be bishulei akum, which is no kula for.
OUD is like BDH?
No, not necessarily. That's another discussion. To make a long story short, between Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you only go to the Jewish bakers, the Hamish HaHechsherim, and that's what you eat. So we have a precedent in halacha where there's a halacha that we do all year, and for 10 days a year, we don't. What's another precedent in halacha? This is very interesting for the men around the table. The Rosh, who we already quoted, Rabbeinu Asher, quotes an interesting Rav Saadia Gaon. Rav Saadia says that on Erev Yom Kippur, every man has to go to the mikveh and make a bracha. Asher kiddishanu v'mitzvota v'tzivanu ala tefillah. You have commanded us to go to the mikveh. Going to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, according to Rav Saadia Gaon, is mamish a mitzvah. It's not a chumrah, it's not a minhag, it's a mitzvah. And you make a bracha. And the Rosh goes ballistic against Rav Saadia Gaon and says, Ve'ein dvarad nimrin. I don't think he's right. Rather, he says, there was a takana of Ezra that wasn't accepted. That a man goes to mikveh basically every day. However, says the Rosh, and I quote, Ela shenahagu ha'olam letaher atzman mikeri litfilat yom ha'kippurim. But once a year, the takana of Ezra was accepted. Which day? Erev Yom Kippur. So we have precedents in halacha where certain ideas in the Gemara were suggested, not accepted, but certain times of the year we do them. Tzeres Yimei Tshuva, no patakum. Erev Yom Kippur, we don't come into Yom Kippur, we don't daven and learn Torah without going to mikveh. And meat and wine, which maybe there was a suggestion in the Gemara, we shouldn't eat all year because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, once a year, 9 days a year, diminish the two Shabbos, you're already down to 7, diminish Tisha B'Av, you're down to 6, we don't eat meat and drink wine for that time of the year. And I believe of all the various options I gave you, either it's diminishing happiness, a form of mourning, or because we're mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, to remember the Korbanos, we don't eat meat and drink wine, I believe this option is the most logical, and it jives well within halacha. An avel, a regular mourner, can eat meat and drink wine. Why? Because he's not mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. But we're mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we don't eat meat and drink wine. This will maybe explain to you, I'll say this in parentheses, the idea of not listening to music. In Sfira, I don't understand that Isser at all. But during the 3 weeks, I try to makbid. Why? Because we're mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. What did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? So we mentioned the Kohanim. They brought the Korbanos and the wine.
They sang.
What did the Levim do?
They sang.
They sang and they played instruments. So in order to show you're mourning for that, you don't need to listen to music during this period of time. Base, yes, we're over
there. There are two Yisurim that we find in the scale. Since you mentioned, this year is based on Rosh Hashanah. So 1979, I actually heard 3 days of Rav Lichtenstein talking about the Avilut of Tisha B'Av, but he spoke primarily about shaving and also not putting on filling. So Yecheskel says, if I recall the words,
Haser Perecha Me'alecha.
Va'anek
Dom, but that's when he was an Onen, not when he was an Avil necessarily. God says to Yecheskel, your wife's going to die. That's what Rav Yedidiyahu is quoting. And even though you're an Onen, which is not allowed to put on tefillin, I want you to put on tefillin. And even though an Onen can't drink wine, I want you to drink wine. That was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but not an Avil. An Avil is allowed to drink wine. Levels chayav and putting on tefillin. Anyone here that's at Shiva? So I'm assuming you put on tefillin. Right. The first day is, I have to admit, Rav Yedidiyahu is correct.
At the time when I said for my first Shiva, Rav Lichtenstein said,
the first day.
The time, even the first day to put on
tefillin. Okay, so that's a machlokas rishonim. It's not
but
the topic
Rav
now.
Eater,
yeah. Rav, there's a big machlokas when an other begins to put on tefillin, because tefillin is very important to us. The general point of view is that if the day of burial is also the day of death, then even a mourner doesn't put on tefillin. But the second day of Shiva, the third day of Shiva, of course the mourner puts on tefillin. And we do that on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a very interesting day with tefillin. We put it on in the afternoon, not in the morning. The morning is sort of an aninut quasi, not exactly. Some do at home, and then in the afternoon in shul. That's what I heard. Anyway, that's what I believe is the reason for the meat and wine. It's specific for this morning only. You can't say this to a mourner for a mother or father. You can't say this for any other mourning we have. If we decide to mourn for all some other tragedy in Jewish history, whatever it might be, Gush Katif or whatnot, I don't believe that we're going to say meat and wine. We may say other things. Perhaps we have to wear orange, whatever it might be. But it will not be meat and wine. Now, based on this, and this is what I'd like to conclude, how come we're sitting here during the 3 weeks, eating meat, drinking wine, it's before the 9 days, Omnam, and yet we're doing it? I'd like to suggest that what we're doing tonight is the way to fix what the Jews were not doing during the time of the Chorban of the second Beis HaMikdash. Famous Gemara in Nedarim says as follows. Gemara says, quoting the Haftorah of the day of Tisha B'Av. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, we read a Haftorah that we don't read all year. It's a famous Haftorah. How does it start? No, Baruch Hashem, people don't remember Tisha B'Av. It's great. Asof Asifei Me'um Hashem. It's not the Haftorah for the fast day that we read at Mincha, Yeshua Hashem Behimatzov. It's a famous Haftorah in which Yirmiyahu Anavi says the following words. Mi ha'isha chacham v'yavin et zot. Who's wise and will understand this? What's this in this context? He's not talking about this cup, this house. What is he talking about? Take a wild guess. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. Who's wise and will understand this? This meaning the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. The varzen ishala chachamim ule neviim velo pirshua. The Gemara says in the Darim that the wise men were asked this question and didn't know the answer. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy the Beis HaMikdash? They asked the prophets and they didn't know. Who finally knew the answer? Until God came out and told the Jewish people, this is why I'm destroying the temple. Everybody ready for this? This, you need your seatbelts on, because you're about to jump. If you look at me, without looking at the Gemara, what do you think the next line is? Why did God destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Hatred, senseless hatred, sinas chinam. Next. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayel, Shvichus Dam, three cardinal sins. There's a Gemara in Shabbos with many other reasons. What does this Gemara say? The Haftorah gives us the answer. I quote from the Haftorah. Vayomer Hashem, Al Ozvam et Torati, because they left my Torah. What do you mean they left my Torah? After all, in the first Beis HaMikdash, they fulfilled all the commandments except for the three cardinal sins. That's pretty good. 610 out of 613. Not bad. What do you say? Second Beis HaMikdash, they fulfilled all the 612 except for one. V'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. Not bad. So what does God mean? Al azvam et torati, they left my Torah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, she'en mevarchin b'torah tchila. Because they didn't say birkas haTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, put the Jewish people into exile for 1,947 years this year, because in the morning they didn't say Birkas HaTorah. What do you think? Terrible people. You know what? In your shul, don't give him after Yona. Alright. Don't tell him to open up the Aron Kodesh for Ne'ilah. He didn't make Birkas HaTorah! This is the reason to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, put the Jews into Golus after Golus, with pogroms, with crusades, topping it all off with the tragedies of the 20th century. This is the reason? And the Ran says explicitly, as you know on Maseches Nedarim, there's a Ran that really isn't the Ran, there's a Rashi that really isn't the Rashi, and the Ran, this is printed on the page, says, She'en mevarchin b'torah tchila, tchilat oskam b'chol yom, d'haynu la'asok b'divrei Torah. God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because the Jews in the morning got up in the morning. They said Moda'ani. They washed their hands three times and said Al-Nikim. They said Elokai Neshama. They said all the miracles Hashach. They daven. They put on Thomas. They daven Mincha Mayrev. But they didn't say what? Birkas HaTorah. Oy, oy, oy. Anyone understand this Gemara? Says the Bach. The Bayit Chadash. Who was the Bayit Chadash? The new house? To come a full circle, the new house is a critique. The other house. Who's the other house? The Beit Yosef. Bayit Chadash was written as an interpretation on the Torah against the Beit Yosef. So if you open up the Torah, which is the son of the Rosh, you can see that on one side is the Beit Yosef, and on the other side is the Bayit Chadash. This is not senseless hatred, God forbid. This is Milchamta Shel Torah. Two Jews that want to disagree on interpreting the Torah. So you have the house of Joseph and the new house. You understand the innuendo. Thank you. Shlomo Karbach was his descendant. Well, so you understand the innuendo here. So the Bach, the Bayit Chadash, Rav Yoel Sirkis, who lived around the time of the Beit Yosef, we're talking about 16th century, explains the Gemara as follows. They weren't busy with Torah. Except for tangible things that gave them enjoyment. To know the halachas when they go into business. In order for them to show off how much Torah they learned. That's why they learned Torah. They weren't busy with Torah, says the Bach. All they wanted to know is, what bracha do I make on cornflakes? How do I run my business with a heter iska so there won't be any sort of iser of rebeat, of taking interest? That's all they wanted to know. And to show off how much Torah they learned. But says the Bayit Chadash, this is on the tour. This is a halachic work. This is not a drashan Shabbos. V'lo nitkavnu lihitatzem ulihitabek bekdusha v'ruchaniyut haTorah ulehamshich ashchina lemata ba'aretz. They weren't interested in bringing down the sanctity of God to earth. How do you understand that? What does it mean to bring down the Shechina la'aretz? God is up in heaven. We want to bring Him down to earth. How do we do that? Pardon?
To look at everything that he's done and that's around you.
To look at everything he's done and surrounds you and to say that God did it. But to be more precise, if I may, your name again?
Sina.
Sina says to look around the world and to say this is part of God's world. But to be more precise, to look around everything you say and to say this is part of my Jewishness. From eating a meal, to saying hello to my kids and my wife and my husband, to going to work, to coming home, this is part of my Torah. In the morning, we don't say l'lmod divrei Torah to learn Torah. What do we say? La'asok b'divrei Torah. To be busy with Torah. Which means, when you're driving your car here in Efrat, and a person stops, wants you to give him a trim, and you have room in the car, that's being busy with Torah. Why? It's a Gmilut Chesed. It's the absolute Gmilut Chesed. I'll add in, it's Achnas HaZorchim. Avram Avinu waited at the tent for people to come. You open your car, which is your tent, for Trampistim. More than that, you get on the bus. People are in front of you. To say good morning to them. Isn't there a Mishnah in Avos that talks about Lekabel Kol Adam B'Sever Panim Yafos? Doesn't Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai, the Gemara says, was a person that no one was able to say hello to him first because he was able to say hello before anyone said hello to him? Let's go on. Where else do you go during the day? You go to the supermarket. Do you cut in line? Do you pay on time? Do you say hello to the cashier? Let's go further. You go to Mincha, you go to Ma'ariv. Do you drive like a maniac? Or do you fulfill the mitzvah of Nishmartem Ma'od and Nafshotechem? Says the Bach, during the time of the Chorban, what did the Jews do? They just wanted to know the halacha. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Wash your hand three times? We'll do that. No problem. Have to make Kiddush Friday night? We'll do that too. But beyond that, nothing. Life, in general, if you take 24 hours, 20 hours, 21 hours, nothing to do with Torah. Yeah, 3 hours of the day. I make a bracha before I eat. I go to davening. I have to put on tefillin, talis. I light the Shabbos candles once a week. That's it. What does it come out? If 20 hours a day you're not part of Torah, the majority of your life is void of Jewishness and godliness. That was the reason why God destroyed the temple. They weren't busy with Torah all day. They constantly and consistently were involved in everything else, but not with bringing down the Shechina La'aretz. That a Jew is in his car or her car, is on a plane, is walking, and he acts and says, this is an opportunity to be a Jew. To be someone that Torah spills out from him or her. The way you greet people, the way you say hello and goodbye, the way you say good Shabbos, the way you don't ignore people, the way you get your mail, the way you drive your car, you park your car, and whatnot. My wife sitting next to me. You don't know how many times we came to our street, which is right up here, at around 9:30 at night. It must be that everyone on the street has three cars or something, because there's not a parking spot in sight. So I, being a knocker, as I am, I say, listen, there's a big, huge space right by my house for the bus. The bus doesn't need the whole space. It needs 75%. So I'll park in the 25% it doesn't need. It's against the law. I may get a ticket. Epis Mekabel. 100 shekels, so my car should be next to my house. And my wife, being a lawyer, says, no way! You're going to park far away. You're going to walk 2 minutes home. Who's right? She's always right. But I'm saying, why is she right in this case? Because a Torah Jew fulfills the edict of the sages of Dina, the Malchuta, Dina. And if the law states you don't park in a parking spot for a bus, you don't. You don't like it? It's not convenient? You don't. And when a person sees you walking, and it happened to me once or twice, I do many weddings, so I come home at night very late. People say, why are you walking? You have a car. I say, well, I had to park down there. And they ask me, why don't you park here? I say, you're not allowed to. Famous story about my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein. He always took people tramps to Yerushalayim. So a person had to get off on King George Street. I don't know if you remember the old King George. This is in the dinosaur age, when people didn't have computers yet. We used to use these things called pens. You remember them? Pens, pencils. And you couldn't stop on King George Street. It was colored red and white. So a person had to get up on King George. Rav Lichtenstein says, I'm not allowed to stop here. So he got to the corner of King George and Yafo. Still red and white. I can't stop here. So the guy, being an Israeli knocker, says, well, can I jump out? You ever heard that term? Can I choli kfotbo? You're not allowed to. So the first place he could stop is he went straight. Back in those years, you can go straight. Up to Strauss. The corner of Strauss and Yecheskel, that's where he could stop. So you can say he's a Meshuggah. You can say he's nuts. Or you can say he's a Torah Jew. He said, La'asok b'divrei Torah. And even when he drove his car, he did it as a Jew, as a Torah Jew. Therefore, I believe that what we're doing here tonight, having a barbecue to end our year of learning Torah, is so appropriate. When Bruce told me the idea, I didn't say... right off, great. I said, no. It's the 3 weeks. How do you have a party? It's not right. I said, we're going to have a shir with food. Because that's the way a Torah Jew uses food. Food is a means for many things. First and foremost, to come together. I don't know if all of us would just come together this evening. There wasn't food on the table, let's be honest. So the fact that we can all come together and see faces that we sometimes see once a week, twice a week, three times a week, is because of the food. Secondly, food is a means to learn Torah together. I don't know how many of you plan to learn at this time of the evening, this evening, on this Wednesday night, here in our city. Food is a means to have the Shabbos meal, the Yontif meal, the Pidyon HaBen, the Mila, the Bris Mila meal. And thus, says the Shulchan Aruch, regarding meat and wine during the 9 days, and with this I conclude, uvesu'udat mitzvah, in a mitzvah meal, kegon, like amila, brismila, upijon aben, v'siyum asechet, this is Bruce's siyum, ochlim basar v'shotin yayin kol ha'shayachim la su'udah. We're mourning for the temple and thus no meat and wine. How do we restore the temple? By fixing their avera. What was their avera? They made their life void of Torah. How do we fix it? By correlating life and Torah. And thus, just to end, thus, I think it's so appropriate that we didn't come together tonight during the 3 weeks to eat, to have a barbecue. We came together to learn. The barbecue is a means to come together and learn. That's what a kollel does. And that's the most appropriate and suitable way to hopefully restore the Beis HaMikdash. To hopefully see these 3 weeks turn into a time of festivity. Because the Navi Zechariah prophesizes, Soma Reviv, Soma Chamishi, amongst the other fast days, will become L'Sasan U'L'Simcha L'Mo'adim Tovim. I hope the women around the table don't kill me. But one day, we will see a time where there'll be additional yontivs in our calendar. More food to make. You'll have a Tisha B'Av yontiv, Shiva Aser B'Tammuz yontiv, Tzom Gedalia, and Aseret B'Teves. The only two fast days that will be left will be Yom Kippur and Tanis Esther. That's never going to change. There'll be a time where this period of time will be a Chol HaMoed between Shiva Aser B'Tammuz yontiv number 1 and Tisha B'Av yontiv number 2. And it will only happen if we stop this idea of making life void of Torah. But we'll be able to make the bracha in the morning la'asok b'divrei Torah, and unlike on the eve of the Chorban, on the eve of the destruction, we'll ensure that every part of our life, from how we act in the office, to the way we act at home, to the way we act in our cars, and to the way we act in airports, will be part and parcel of our life of Torah. I said that this year was, in my opinion, in accordance with the way Rav Lichtenstein taught. And I'd like to end by saying the following in his memory. I never in my life heard him say the word lahavdil. You ever hear the word lahavdil? You know, you're talking about something, let's say the parsha, and you say, lahavdil, I read in the newspaper. Lahavdil, I saw on TV. Lahavdil in baseball. I must have heard tens of sichot on Friday night in Shalosh Shudas from my Rebbe. I probably heard Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur at least 4, 5, 6 years worth. I never once heard him say, when he introduced some poet that no one ever heard of, or a baseball game he saw on TV, or a basketball game. I never heard him say the word, Lahavdil. To distinct, to make a difference, to make a distinction between Torah and life, I'd like to quote from the newspaper. For him, all of it was part of the Torah life. When he quoted a poet like this. He didn't say Lahav. I remember one Purim that he said the following to me. He said that a few weeks ago he got up in the morning, he didn't feel good. He took his temperature, he had 39 degrees fever. In American terms, Fahrenheit, 102. 101, 102. He looked at himself in the mirror. He looked white. He got in his car, went to yeshiva. Why, he said? He didn't say lahavdil. He said because a week before he read in the magazine that Michael Jordan in the playoffs game had 102 fever and played the playoff game and scored many baskets because he was dedicated to basketball. So I feel I'm dedicated to teaching Torah. So 102 fever, I went to yeshiva. Of course, he added, as he always did, it wasn't contagious, so of course I can come and whatnot. He didn't say lahavdil. And that's what I hope that we'll do during these 3 weeks. We'll stop saying lahavdil. But everything, from meat to wine to the way we drive, will be part and parcel of our Torah life. So we won't eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days. But hopefully when they're over, we'll be able to say everything is part of our Torah lifestyle. Thank you all very much.